You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast at savage.love.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
So, Mary, looks like we've finally evened the score. All right, this is going to take a minute, but bear with me. It'll be worth it. I promise. Bartolo Longo was born into an Italian Catholic family in 1841. His parents were devout Catholics, and so was Bartolo until he went to college. At college, he fell in with a bad crowd, as one does. But in his case, Bartolo fell in with a group of mediums and spiritualists who claimed they could communicate with the dead, and he eventually wound up in a satanic cult, as one does, and was ordained a satanic priest. But it didn't stick. Bartolo was anxious and depressed, and a friend convinced him to talk to a priest, a Catholic priest, not a satanic priest. And after listening to this priest natter on for 3 weeks, Bartolo cracked. He renounced Satanism and embraced Catholicism, or re-embraced Catholicism, and he's now a saint, a junior saint beatified by Pope John Paul II. That was the pope who thought God would send adults who had consensual gay sex to hell, while he sent priests who had raped kids on to new parishes. Anyway, Bartolo took the name Rosario because he was very into the rosary when he joined the Dominican order, making him the third most famous Rosario in history after Rosario Dawson, the actress. Loved her in Top 5, looking forward to seeing her in Clerks 3, and Rosario Gambino of the Gambino crime family. You may be wondering why I know so much about this guy and why I am bothering you with this morning. Well, Bartolo is the patron saint of the anxious and the depressed. So, if the meds aren't working, you can try praying to Bartolo Longo. That's how it works for us Catholics. God does hear our prayers, but God is a busy guy, and so you have to ingratiate yourself with saints in hopes that they will intercede for you with God, put in a good word about you with God, and then your prayers will be answered. It works every time, except for all the times it doesn't work, which is most of the time. But that's not why I'm bothering you with this. And it doesn't work. Please don't go off your meds and start praying to Bartolo Longo. Don't do that. I know about this guy because of the date he joined the Dominicans and changed his name to Rosario, the date he took vows and took holy orders, October 7th, 1981. 98 years later, on October 7th, 1964, I was born in a Catholic hospital on the north side of Chicago. Coincidence? Not according to Mary, not according to the person who has been blowing up my inbox with emails about Bartolo Longo for 15 years. According to my pen pal Mary, who may be a listener, this October 7th business is not a coincidence. Bartolo taking holy orders on the same day I was born, a century later, it is a sign from God that I am destined to return to the Catholic faith, a sign that I will one day divorce my husband, renounce my sin, put down the dick, and live a chaste life like Bartolo did. Another event of world historical proportions that happened on October 7th, in 1982, on October 7th, Cats opened on Broadway. So my thing for Lycra cat suits and butt plugs with tails, coincidence or ordained by God? Anyway, I was thinking about Bartolo Rosario Longo this weekend, the Catholic saint who renounced Satanism, after reading about Xavier Novell Goma, the Catholic bishop who left the priesthood to run off with a Satanist in Barcelona. Well, that's a bit of an overstatement. Goma resigned to live in sin, to cohabitate with a lady shrink who writes erotica with satanic themes. She's divorced, they're living together, they aren't married. He's blowing loads, she's cranking out dirty devil novels. But Goma wasn't just any Catholic bishop. He was a high-profile supporter of conversion therapy for the gays and performed exorcisms to drive out those gay demons. Because the devil is real, and demons are real, but gay people are faking it. So, I wrote to my friend Mary on Sunday just to let her know that we've evened the score. You got Bartolo Rosario Longo, we got Bishop Xavier Goma. For now, he could return to the fold, return to the faith. But at the moment, the former bishop is looking for a job in Barcelona as an agronomist, which is a whole hell of a lot more useful to society than an exorcist. Also, the world is on fire, democracy is in peril, people are losing their minds. Please, do what makes you happy. Want to be a Dominican? fine with me. Want to run off with a woman who writes satanic pornography? Sounds good. So long as what makes you happy isn't setting fires, attacking democracy, or blowing up at people in airplanes or in supermarkets, have at. All right, coming up on today's show on the Magnum, Amanda Montell, author of Cultish, The Language of Fanaticism, and co-host of the Sounds Like a Cult podcast, joins me to talk about cults and how they use language to control their followers. That's on the Magnum that you can subscribe to at savage.love, the Magnum Savage Lovecast, twice as long, more guests, no ads. Go to savage.love to subscribe. And my new book, Savage Love from A to Z, comes out in 2 weeks. And listeners in Seattle and Portland, I am hosting book launch events in the coming weeks. I'll be at Town Hall in Seattle on Friday, September 24th. Bill Radke from KUOW, our local NPR station, will be interviewing me on stage about what I've learned over 30 years writing Savage Love. And I'll be at Mississippi Studios in Portland on Saturday, October 2nd. Get your tickets now at savage.love/events. A copy of the book is included in the price of admission. All right, let's get to the show. Floria is an all-natural health and sexual wellness company with product lines using the power of plant actives and CBD to effectively enhance intimacy, sexual pleasure, daily well-being, and relief from discomfort. Get 20% off your first order by visiting floriawellness.com/savage. Support for today's show, support we are very grateful for, comes from Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk in your own home, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just click, print, mail, and you are done. It could not be easier. And right now, use Savage for this special offer. Includes up to $55 worth of free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Do not wait. Go to stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Savage. That's stamps.com. Enter S-A-V-A-G-E. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Calm, the number one app for meditation and sleep. For a limited time, my listeners get 40% off a Calm premium subscription by going to calm.com/savage.
Hi, Dan, Nancy, and the Tech Savvy at Risk Youth. I've got a quarantine success story coming to you from Southeast Asia. So what I'm sharing is something I call the kink clock. Basically, I have a play partner that I met with regularly, but of course, during the pandemic, often for weeks, we couldn't see each other. And so we wanted some way to feel connected across that time. And so we came up with kind of like a minute hand and an hour hand to stay connected. She really loves impact play. She likes to be spanked. She likes a belt. She likes all kinds of implements. And so she started challenging me to try to leave marks that would last for days or even weeks. And that created a situation where, like, when we weren't together, she would send me some photos as things faded away, and she would say, look, Ed, I can still see where you were. And it also gave me a chance to go shopping in, like, a kitchen supply store and kind of think, like, oh, I wonder what this would be like. So it kept us connected when we couldn't physically see each other. And then those marks did fade, but something else would grow in, and that was her hair, because I learned that she had been shaving herself since she had reached puberty. And so as part of the kink clock, I challenged her not to shave and to let her hair grow in. And then every time I saw her, there was this built-in moment of reconnecting and grooming her. And I took her through all the old crazy hairstyles I remembered from porn growing up. And that was actually a lot of fun. And so it made it so that even if we hadn't seen each other for 3 or 4 weeks, when we got back together, there would be something built in, the chance to kind of slow down and reconnect and pay attention to each other. So that's how we've had some kinky fun during this crazy time of the pandemic and the lockdown.
Thank you for calling and sharing. And I'm going to spend the rest of the day imagining you giving your play partner's pubes a perm or a Princess Diana bob or a Dorothy Hamill wedge. We like to start every week's show with a really interesting success story. That one counts. Thank you, caller. If you have a sex success story you'd like to share and you'd like us to open next week's Savage Lovecast with that success story, with your success story, give us a buzz.
Hey, Dan. Forgive me if this is a question that you've fielded a lot lately. I'm sure it's a problem that a lot of people are having, but I'm fully vaccinated and proud, might I add. I believe all the science and everything. Unfortunately, a lot of my friends, very close friends and people I meet, do not feel the same. And then I met and slept with my extraordinarily hot neighbor. And then I found out he wasn't vaccinated. Of course, that's what the deed was done. And of course, he's like one of the hottest people I've ever had the pleasure of hooking up with and spending time with. And he's wonderful in almost every other way, except he's not fucking vaccinated. And I've tried speaking to him about it. I've gone round and round about it. I think I might be making like a little progress with him with it. But at the end of the day, as great as he is, I shouldn't be sharing my exquisite pussy with someone who isn't vaccinated and has like a fake fucking vaccination card. I mean, it infuriates me. And it is hard because I don't know if this is a line that I should draw with him and with other people, but I feel like I'm going to have to. But at the same time, a lot of people are unvaccinated. How do you feel this sort of problem? And, you know, how do you tell people, I'm not going to fuck you if you're not vaccinated? Like, it's them fighting words in this time, I think, but I want to, you know, put my pussy where my mouth is, if you know what I mean.
Dan would take one look at that fake vaccination card that he's been using to get into places that are trying to keep people safe by making them for vaccinated folks only. I would take one look at that fake vaccination card and pull up my pants and take my exquisite pussy and get the fuck out of there. What that fake vaccination card says is he is willing, for his own selfish, short-sighted, idiotic reasons, to put other people's health in danger, to risk other people's lives. If that's the way he'll treat people, I don't know, at a concert or a restaurant, at some public space where they're trying to keep everybody safe by requiring vaccinations, and he's willing to risk his own life and the lives of other people, that's a guy who isn't above taking a condom off in the middle of a fuck for his own short-sighted reason, for his own pleasure. So yeah, take your pussy and go, and tell him why he is no longer going to have access to your pussy. And you are allowed to discriminate against people who are being idiotic in this way. And with so many other people out there who are unvaccinated, it's not like he lacks for sex partners, but maybe hearing from you that he's never going to get access to your exquisite pussy again will give him some incentive to go get vaccinated. Last couple of weeks, vaccination rates are actually rising. It seems that right-wing, anti-vax, anti-mask radio talk show hosts dying in droves is having some impact on the idiots out there, and some of them are coming around and getting vaccinated now. Well, this guy obviously hasn't been motivated by the deaths of all these right-wing talkers, but maybe hearing from you that he's going to have to get vaccinated and get a real vaccination card, or maybe get vaccinated in front of you, you will accompany him to the Walgreens or the CVS, will fucking finally convince this idiot to go get vaccinated. But even if, you know what, even if he did get vaccinated so that he could keep having sex with you, oh my God, I bump on, as they say in Hollywood, I bump on that fake vaccination card and what that means about the person he is and what he is capable of, and his casual disregard, not just for his own health, but for the lives and safety of everyone around him. Yeah, not somebody you want to be naked with in a bed, not somebody you want around your body, much less inside it. Have you tried CBD in the bedroom? If you haven't, you're going to want to check out Foria's best-selling intimacy collection. Foria makes CBD products specifically for sex, like awaken arousal oil, sex oil, and intimacy suppositories. They're all concocted with all-natural, organic, plant-based ingredients, including CBD, to enhance pleasure, comfort, and relaxation so you can go all night long. You can expect bigger and better and more memorable orgasms, enhanced arousal, increased sexual pleasure, relaxation, and what we all love, that slide and glide lubrication. Foria's Awaken Arousal Oil is a cult favorite for women. It's made with organic, broad-spectrum CBD and 9 plant-based aphrodisiacs. And for the men and penis owners out there, get ready to slip and slide with the cleanest lube on the market, Foria's famous sex oil. This bedroom essential was designed to provide all natural moisture and lubrication with 400 milligrams broad spectrum CBD to enhance pleasure, comfort, and relaxation. And for penetration, Foria's intimacy suppositories provide targeted support to enhance arousal, pleasure, relaxation, sexual comfort, and blood flow with 50 milligrams of organic broad-spectrum CBD so you can go that much deeper, that much longer. Can be used vaginally or rectally. That's right. CBD up your coochie or up your butt. You will love it. You'll also love trying something new. Trying new things is how Terry and I do it. It's how you should do it too. Foria's products are always organic, plant-based, and sustainably sourced. No additives, no fragrances, no synthetics ever. Foria is offering a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order by visiting foriawellness.com/savage or use code SAVAGE at checkout. That's F-O-R-I-A wellness.com/savage for 20% off your first order. I recommend trying their sex oil. You'll thank me later.
Hi, Dan. So listening to a bunch of older episodes, I've heard you say a lot that a good way to determine what your sexual orientation is to think about what you masturbate about. And I am a bisexual woman. I'm in my late 20s. And I have always exclusively masturbated to images or thoughts about women. But I do enjoy having sex with men. But it's just, I need that physical kind of presence with a man to have a good time having sex with a man. If it's just about like the imagery, I just find the female form to be a lot more of a turn on for me. So I'm just wondering if you think maybe I lean more homosexual than I may have thought, or whether maybe I'm just kind of an exception to your rule. Because really, like when I'm masturbating, like cannot have an orgasm thinking about men. It just doesn't work, and I've tried. So I'd love your thoughts. Thanks so much.
You can be authentically 100% bisexual and have a preference where the gender of your particular favored sex partner is concerned. So you're not disqualified. It's not like you're tipping into homosexuality and you're going to fall over into homosexuality, because when you fantasize, when you imagine having sex, when you masturbate, it's women that you think about, women that get you off, and yet you enjoy also having sex with men, presumably having sex with men that you are physically attracted to, who pull your eye to. It's just men aren't your go-to. Men aren't your primary erotic interest or target. And that can be true, and you can still be 100,000% bisexual. Yeah, maybe what I've said for a long time, mostly to clearly gay, closeted guys, what do you masturbate about? People say, oh, I don't know, I'm confused about my sexuality. And I will say, well, what do you masturbate about? And they will say, oh, and they'll get a look on their face. Usually it's guys I'm talking to at this moment, get a look on his face, because he knows what he masturbates about. He knows what that means, what the implications of that are. He's just still wrestling with accepting that. He's already accepted it to some extent. It's what he's masturbating about. He just hasn't brought himself to a point where he can admit it, even if he can have a conversation about being confused about his sexuality. Anyway, that was probably not a helpful construct for you as a bisexual person in thinking about what turns you on and what it might mean. Also not helpful is having been told for decades, and you hear less of this now thanks to bisexual activists like Robin Oakes. Please look up her definition of bisexuality. You hear less of this now, but for years you heard to be bi meant you were equally attracted to men and women emotionally and sexually. And we know that that's not true from the lived experience of most bisexuals. And while I sometimes complain and joke about ever-expanding taxonomy of sexual orientations and gender identities, I think it's really helpful now that we talk about being bisexual but heteroromantic, or being homoromantic but bisexual, that there are other labels that help explain your bisexuality and the way it functions in your life to you and that are available to you to help explain them to others. So do a deep dive, if you care to, on all the different labels out there. And I think you'll find one that allows you to express who you are, to understand who you are, and to still accept that based on the way you move through the world, based on your choice of sex partners, men and women, that you are bi and authentically bi and not revealed to be, ratted out by your masturbatory habits and revealed to actually be a secret homosexual. You're not a closeted homosexual. You're actually a bisexual with a strong sexual preference for other women. So strong a sexual preference for other women that it dominates your fantasy life. That's your go-to when you masturbate, but you still are attracted to men, still enjoy sex with men. You are still bisexual. I have a time-saving handy tip for you. Stop going to the post office and stop paying full price for postage. Thanks to Stamps.com, you don't have to do either of those things anymore. Mail and ship anytime, anywhere, right from your computer. Send letters and packages and pay less, a lot less, with discounted rates from USPS, UPS, and more. Stamps.com saves businesses thousands of hours and tons of money every year. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS right to your computer. It's a must-have for any business. Whether you're a small office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy shop shipping out orders, or just navigating this hybrid work-home life, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. No wonder over 1 million businesses choose Stamps.com for their mailing and shipping. Simply use your own computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send it. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. And with Stamps.com, you get discounts up to 40% off post office rates and up to 66% off UPS shipping rates. Not to mention Stamps.com is a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. Stamps.com really is a no-brainer. But ironically, everyone with brains is doing it because they're saving time and money. Join the nearly 1 million small businesses already using Stamps.com. Stop wasting time. Go to the post office. Go to Stamps.com instead. There's no risk. And with my promo code SAVAGE, S-A-V-A-G-E, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in SAVAGE. That's Stamps.com, promo code SAVAGE. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
Hey, Dan. I'm calling because I've always had issues getting and keeping hard during sex. I'm a 22-year-old gay man, and a cis gay man, but I have luckily been able to just bottom for most of the time. But I think that I'm spiritually and actually verse. Like, I actually want to top too, but I kind of just brush it off and end up bottoming. But as soon as a guy gives me attention, I usually get in my head about it. So, like, I blame it on, like, drinking or drugs, even if I'm sober. But, like, I kind of just push it off and forget about it and focus on them. But what could this be? Is this, like, a physical issue? Is this, like, a mental thing? How do I even go about that? Like, I can get hard, like, you know, morning wood and jerking off, and I get horny, and I can even be, like, super horny during sex and super into it. And trying to top a guy, but just not able to get that rock hard, I don't know, that you need. And I'm also 22, so I feel like I'm definitely too young for drugs, or am I, or I don't know.
You are not too young for drugs at 22. You could take an ED med. I'm tempted to ship you some ED meds myself to get you on the phone, to get your address, and send you some magic boner pills that are really just Flintstones vitamins or sugar pills, because what you need, the benefit that an ED med would have for you, is just the confidence boost. You have performance anxiety around topping. You're 22 years old. You've mostly been bottoming. You have performance anxiety. You get in your own head and you worry that you're not going to have an erection, not going to have the rock hard erection that you need to top. And then surprise, you don't have that erection. You could wear a cock ring. You could take Viagra or take my magic sugar pills that would provide you with the placebo effect that I think would benefit you as much as the actual effects of Viagra and allow you to get out of your head and have the erection and enjoy the erection. Those are strategies you could employ. You could also find a regular sex partner, someone that you have sex with regularly, and share this problem that you've been having, that you get in your own head and you're a little anxious. And this should be someone that is averse, but that has been topping you. And just put it out there that at some point you would like to top them and make it a little project that you're going to work on together. You're going to build your way up, work your way up to fucking that guy. And the benefit of it being a guy who's fucking you, a verse guy, is that when he's fucking you and when you guys are messing around and you're not going to fuck him, you're not going to suddenly be seized by performance anxiety. He's going to see that when he's fucking you or when you guys are just having oral or mutual masturbation and rolling around, that you are rock hard. And gradually, his confidence in your erection is going to jump to you, and you're going to get more confident in your erections when you're with him because he knows that your dick can do this. And so a time will come when he's fucking you and then he's just going to roll over and stick his ass in the air and you're already going to be hard and he's going to believe in your dick and you're going to believe in your dick. It'll be a Tinkerbell moment. Everybody will be clapping for your dick and it'll live and you'll get it in his ass and you will get past this performance anxiety. Nothing like a few successful attempts to get you past this kind of performance anxiety. If that's too long an investment of time and emotional effort, creating that kind of relationship with somebody who can Tinkerbell your dick into him, go ahead, talk to your doctor about Viagra. It is a legitimate reason for someone to have Viagra prescribed to them to get past this kind of performance anxiety, to relax and have confidence in their dick, in their erection, because they took that pill. Doctors will prescribe Viagra to you for that reason. And then if you go rounds with Viagra, start to believe in your dick, you'll start messing around, you'll forget to take the Viagra, your hard-on will be there, your rock-hard cock will be there, it'll be buried in some guy's ass, and then you won't need the Viagra as often or so much or at all anymore. Traveling for the first time in a long time, new surroundings can make it hard to fall asleep. With Calm's sleep stories, you will fall asleep. You will be well-rested on your next vacation or your next work trip. We are partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. Clear your head with guided daily meditations, improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks, and drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories. And if you go to calm.com/savage, you'll get a limited time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programming and new content is added every week. Over 100 million people all around the world already use Calm to take care of their minds. Sleep more, stress less, live better with Calm. For listeners of the show, Calm is again offering a special limited time promotion, 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/savage. Go to calm.com/savage for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 23-year-old lady living out in the West. My question is, what do you think is the appropriate time to confide in somebody that you have a sugar daddy or a sugar mama or a sugar parent? I'm in a very non-monogamous phase in my life right now. So I divulge the information to my partners when I meet new people. I divulge that information, hey, I'm seeing other people, but I don't mention that one of my relationships is really, I think of it as sex work. You know, it's like my second job. And my sugar daddy thinks he's my boyfriend and we spend a lot of time together. So it's been a little bit difficult kind of skirting around that fact that this person I'm calling my friend is really something different. But to me, I don't know if this falls under the category of admitting that I'm in another relationship or if it falls under the category of, hey, this is sex work and it's taboo and it's fair for me to decide who I tell and who I don't tell. I don't want to be hurting anybody, but I also like to keep my private business, my own private business.
So I listened to your call and I'm a little unclear as to whether your sugar daddy knows that he's a sugar daddy.
Oh man. Yeah. He does, but at this point he does call himself my boyfriend, which I just allow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feed into it.
And was that clear from the beginning of this transactional relationship that what he was paying for was kind of the girlfriend experience, as they call it, the GFE?
Yes. Yeah. That's what he was looking for, was companionship and somebody to spend time with and not necessarily just sex, you know, kind of the whole package.
But he knew he would be paying you for that. And
yes.
He continues to pay you for that.
Yes, he does.
Okay, well then, you know, I think some people may think that that's, you know, in a gray area. I don't necessarily think so because, you know, if somebody's paying you for the GFE, you don't have to remind them every time they use the word girlfriend that, okay, yeah, but really not. You don't have to say that, right?
Yeah, that would make it weird.
You can allow them to suspend their disbelief and regard you as a girlfriend. That's part of what he's paying you for.
Right. Yeah.
As to whether you need to disclose the fact that you're doing sex work to other casual partners, I don't think so. And I think the fact that the sex work that you do involves just one client as opposed to seeing multiple clients, you know, usually the advice is someone who's dating you has a right to know, you know, informed consent, if dating you means they're at higher risk than they might be otherwise of an mm-hmm. exposure to an STI. That is not to say mm-hmm. that sex workers are at greater risk of contracting STIs. Sex workers are often more careful about using condoms, using them correctly, using them consistently than muggles, and present less risk than somebody who's just like fucking around a little bit or someone who's out there being a monogamous or somebody who's just casually dating but dating multiple people might present. But, you know, my sex worker pals don't want to wind up in long-term relationships where then they have to roll that out down the road. And then the person is going to feel like angry potentially about being lied to by omission about something so stigmatized. It's a risk for the sex worker to withhold that information. You don't want to date people.
Yeah.
If you're a sex worker who aren't comfortable with the fact that they are dating a sex worker.
Yeah, absolutely. I did kind of suss that out with, this person in particular that I'm seeing, who's not my sugar daddy, you know, kind of asking him on the real down low what his views on sex work were. And, you know, he had great things to say, so that was good. But that is my concern, is like, well, if I wait because I think it's not a big deal, and, you know, 2 months down the road and we're maybe more seriously dating and then I bring it up, I feel like that would be such a bad move.
Yeah, potentially a bad mood. There are the considerations, you know, around his right to know and informed consent for him. But there's also your feelings that have to be taken into consideration. Not just your safety around doing something that's kind of stigmatized, but, you know, the longer you wait to tell him, the larger an emotional investment you will have made in him and the relationship. Mm-hmm. And if this is disqualifying, as far as he's concerned, once he finds out, well, then you're going to get your heart broken. If it's disqualifying, you want to know that before you make a huge emotional investment in this guy. All that said, I do think that sugar baby, sugar daddy, or sugar mama arrangements are a little different because it's one other person. You're not hanging out a shingle and seeing multiple clients, not to stigmatize, you know, my sex worker pals who see many clients, but it's a different kind of sex work. And it almost falls in a gray area between sex work and just being in an open relationship or polyamorous. It's just one of your relationships is transactional in a way that, you know, I'm so cynical. I think all relationships are transactional. We all pay for it. We don't always pay for it with money. We pay for it with time, affection, attention, diligence, intimacy, care. But we all kind of pay in. And if we don't pay in to the relationship, they tend to end. So some people think that makes me really cynical to describe all relationships as transactional. It's just yours is transactional. This one is transactional in a way that's different than perhaps the transactions that go on in your relationship that's more grounded in authentic affection and attraction than in the arrangement. And I assume there's some mutual affection and attraction there that makes it possible for you to allow him to call himself your boyfriend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I call it my second job because that's what it feels like. But, you know, I've had to consider that from another person's perspective who doesn't see how hard I work and how much I don't really want. I don't really, you know, want to be dating this person. That it
a sugar
could
daddy.
Just, yes, yeah, that mm-hmm. it could just look like, you know, another relationship. And why wouldn't I disclose that?
Yeah, I think you should disclose it for your own sake. Not that you're in, I think, peril or anything, but it's in your own self-interest to disclose it, to protect yourself, your income, your heart. I think you can wait a little bit when there's something hugely stigmatized. I don't think you should wait forever to tell someone because then the stakes get higher and higher when you get to the reveal. But allowing someone to get you in, to know you just a little bit before you tell them something that they may have prejudices about or a cultural bias about, allowing them to get to know you so they can weigh the person that they've gotten to know a little bit against their biases is often a really good strategy.
Yeah.
For someone who struggles under stigma and shame, that's, I think, unfair and often irrational. So I guess my advice is wait a little bit, not too long, and I'm relieved to hear that your sugar daddy actually knows he's your sugar daddy and not your boyfriend.
Yeah, that's something we're going to have to be working on for a while, you know, as the relationship goes on, setting boundaries.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your question.
Hi, Dan. Bisexual, 36-year-old male in the upper Midwest here. My wife and I have gotten into BDSM more in the last few years. We've been in a femdom relationship for the last year and a half, which has been really fun. And it's mainly kind of been at home, but recently we've tried to get out a little bit more. We've been to fetishes at events in the past where it's mainly just dressing up, but we did go to a play party at a local club recently, and it was a lot of fun. I have for a number of years really leaned into kind of dressing up sexy, wearing sexy underwear. I've even done a little bit of like being a shop boy at a gay bar in town, and I find it a lot of fun. So I really leaned into that. But when I go to these events, I kind of notice that unless they're men, there tends to be like kind of a group of gay men who go to the fetish events and stuff, that they will wear the kind of stuff that I wear, which is like harnesses, jock straps, things like that. But there's a lot of guys who, you know, I don't want to make any assumptions about sexuality or anything, but there's a number of guys who are kind of straight presenting who will really just not do very much. Like, you know, like it's one thing if you like got like a full leather outfit with like a vest and all this stuff, that's cool. Like there's some joy there, but like it's just like cargo shorts and a t-shirt and not really doing very much. And this is something that like I even brought up on a Reddit board, and I got a lot of kind of, yeah, we've noticed that too from a lot of the women who are, you know, like dominant women, especially when they see these kind of dude bros all in the corner, not in fetish gear. So I wanted to know what your take on that was, because I feel a little frustrated because I'm putting myself out there and a lot of people are putting their stuff out there. I don't want there to be like a rule that you have to show your ass, but at the same time, putting some effort, I feel like, would be, you know, not that much to ask.
This is why a lot of fetish parties, kink parties, play parties, why a lot of them have dress codes. It's to prevent the straight guys from showing up in cargo shorts. And there really is no more straight presenting an item of clothing than cargo shorts. But there's something interesting and complicated going on under the surface here. It's not just straight guys not trying. There's something about the awareness of yourself as an object, dressing up, dressing sexy, that is perceived to be feminine. That's why a lot of gay men are perfectly comfortable with it, because we can't be gay without embracing some people perceiving you perhaps to be feminine in a way, and either embracing that or rejecting that, but just not being shamed or constrained by that possible perception. But straight guys going to a play party, straight guys going to a fetish event, they may feel that it's emasculating or demasculating to be aware of themselves as an object that might be looked at. Women are for looking at, the male gaze, women are for looking at, men are for doing the looking. And so it can be emasculating or feel emasculating subconsciously for straight guys to present themselves, to really present their asses like baboons at a fetish event. And that's the hang up for a lot of straight guys, but it's also a hang up that's reinforced by some straight women, that when they see a guy, you know, in the harness and jockstrap like you are, they may assume that guy is gay or bi and be less attracted to that guy or less willing to engage with that guy sexually. So it's not just that straight guys at fetish events, at straight fetish events or predominantly straight fetish events, are more comfortable in the t-shirt and cargo shorts. A lot of their sex partners or the people they'd like to get with sexually are also, a lot of their female potential sex partners, they're more comfortable with the straight guys they might want to get with, not dressing up like a gay dude. That can be less attractive to a woman. A man who is dressing up to attract attention, to invite objectification, not only to the man can that seem emasculating, it can appear emasculating or less masculine, less therefore attractive to many women on the fetish scene. Now, there are probably a lot of women into fetish and kink and go to these play parties who are running to their phones now to record responses to me and saying, no, 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 they like it when the guys come. I'm saying this is a dynamic, not true for everyone, of course, but I think that's a lot of what's going on under the surface here. It's not just that women are willing to put up with this. It's that some women prefer this, and men can be subconsciously very conscious of that dynamic, which is why I endorse and support dress codes at fetish events for everyone, so that everyone's in gear, so that everyone's making an effort, so everyone is trying, including the straight guys. And you know what? Any fetish event where you can walk through the door in cargo shorts and a t-shirt, not a fetish event that I would go to twice.
Hey, Dan. I'm having my first orgy. Planning it right now to coincide with the Fish concerts in Denver. And I've got a group of sexy fish freaks that are getting together after the first night's show. Extremely COVID safe, triple level COVID safety protocols, all vaccination and tests before and tests at the door. But my question is, just for any tips that you might have for a novice orgy organizer, orgy-nizer, I was just thinking specifically, I'm looking for content to play on the screen in the venue that we've rented while everyone is hanging out. And with your film festival, I thought you'd be a unique person to ask, with a unique perspective rather, for some content that we might be able to show that is sexy without sound, because music will be playing in the background, but for just video content, and any other tips you might have.
As the coiner of many new terms, kind of a neologism expert, I'm going to just go out on a limb here and predict that orgy-nizer is not going to take off. Look, you're hosting an orgy. You don't want to watch porn during an orgy. You want to live porn during an orgy. So don't think about putting porn up on that screen. Just put something neutral, whatever. You could put up an old Doris Day movie. Here's the pro tip. At the orgy, you don't want the sex on the screen to compete for eyeballs with the sex happening right in front of you or your guests. So, yeah, you're a fish fan, fish freaks you self-identified as. I don't want to get in trouble with the fish people by calling you a freak. You said fish freak. There's got to be some psychedelic trippy loop on YouTube or wherever that would appeal to your freaky fish demographic and not compete, again, for eyeballs during the orgy. You want people to watch what they're doing. You want people to watch what every other fish freak in the room is doing. You don't want them looking up at the screens and watching porn. All right, before we get to response calls, let's read some listener tweets. Diana Fleischman tweets, a 51-year-old woman on the Savage Lovecast fraught over whether she is using up her 33-year-old boyfriend's youth. In my opinion, older women with younger men worry about this more than older men with younger women, even though the latter, older men with younger women, are much more likely to cause harm, monopolizing a woman's fertile years. That's a good point, assuming a woman wants to have kids, which not all women do. Another really unfair aspect about this, an older man has an easier time finding a new partner than an older woman does. So the younger woman who ages with an older partner won't be able to find a new partner if that relationship goes to shit as easily as the young man who aged with an older woman would. Alicia KB tweets, what really struck me about the unfortunate disappearing act mentioned in the success story last week, the man who lost a double-headed dildo in his own ass during sex play with his partner, what really struck me was the fact that the guy's mind went to medical debt, moved to Canada, where anything can be removed from any orifice for absolutely free. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I used to say every American needs to go to Europe and someone needs to break one of their legs so Americans can see what socialized medicine is really like, and then maybe we can have socialized medicine here. But it's a much more attractive offer, perhaps, to say that every American should go to Canada and lose a sex toy in their ass and go see what socialized medicine is like for that reason. Instead, less traumatic, shorter recovery time, same takeaway. And finally, K Hammer 1212 tweets, for Our Lady of the Balcony, on the most recent episode of the Savage Lovecast, man or woman jerking off in plain sight is in poor taste at best. If the cops don't get called, you're lucky. If they do, you got what was coming to you. You know, the thing about messing around where you might get caught, solo or in pairs or in groups, is that you might get caught. And if the possibility of getting caught is part of what makes that hot or exciting for you, you really can't complain when you get caught. I don't think people should wind up in prison or on sex offender registries, which some people have for having sex in public. Of course, bearing in mind that there is a big difference between people who enjoy sex in public, where they hope that they maybe won't get caught or not get seen, and people who go out of their way aggressively to make other people feel uncomfortable or scared by pulling out their dicks on public transportation and having a wank or something like that. That is very different. All right, if you want me to read your tweet on an upcoming episode of the Savage Lovecast, be sure to include the hashtag Savage Lovecast. And now listener response calls.
Hi, Dan. I just finished listening to episode 776, and I wanted to thank you for pushing back on that woman using the word triggered and trauma to describe her discomfort or annoyance, I guess, at her boyfriend using Viagra after she had suggested it to him. It is a great thing that we as a society are becoming more accepting of trauma and that we are realizing that you don't need to be a combat veteran to suffer from PTSD. But I do worry that the ubiquity of the word trauma, often invoked by people who, you know, may have had something bad happen to them, may have had something mildly inconvenient happen to them, is really devaluing what trauma and traumatized is. It's a really debilitating and scarring, long-lasting thing that has happened to people. And you, like I said, you don't have to be a combat veteran, but it's not the same thing as like, oh my God, I had a really bad day at work and it was really traumatizing. And I've seen just people use trauma sprinkled in to basically be the same thing as like a bad thing happened to me. And things may be really bad that have happened to you, but just because you had, you know, some discomfort or some sadness doesn't mean that you are now living with the lifelong implications of having been traumatized. So again, thanks for pushing back against that and to be respectful of those who are traumatized or to not really belittle their experiences by bringing that term into everyday usage for something that definitely just wasn't trauma.
To the woman of 51 dating a 33-year-old man, I'm now married 3 years, and we have almost the same age difference as you. She is wonderful, brilliant, hot, supportive, and easily the best relationship I've ever had. It sounds like you are what this guy wants, so you definitely should not break up with him to give him the chance that he doesn't want to be with a younger woman. You don't need to worry that you're cheating him out of anything. I say nothing against younger women, but there are all kinds of advantages to being with someone a little bit more seasoned. Some people are embarrassed about this dynamic, but plenty of us are proud of it, and I'd recommend trying it to anyone that was considering it.
Hi, this is a response call for the woman who called in on the last show because her husband had hands that had cream all over them and he wouldn't wash them. Dan, you and Lena were absolutely right. That was totally inconsiderate of him. And I wanted to add something that's a little bit more practical advice for her. My husband is a bicycle mechanic. He gets cut, scrapes, bruises all over his hands. Sometimes his hands are really greasy. And he is really into making sure they're nice and clean, but sometimes they can be really rough or he just has a scratch that can't be zhuzhed up, for lack of a better word. And when situations like that come across, we have some really nice gloves. We have a few boxes of nitrile gloves They're super smooth, and he can put on all of the salves and creams that keep his hands nice and put the gloves over them, and then we can still play. The first time we did it, it was a little funny, but it actually turned into like a very sexy thing because the gloves make his fingers so smooth that it's a very, very sensual experience to be touched that way. Your caller definitely should talk to her husband about his attitude and why he was lying to her. But in the meantime, if she wants him to put his hands on her and they're not nice, get some nitrile gloves.
And we're going to leave it there. Got a question for me or a comment about this week's show? There are two ways to get them to us. You can call us at 206-302-2064, or you can use the voice memo app on your phone to record your question or comment and email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. Hey, Madison, Wisconsin, you're about to get humped. Our 2021 lineup will be playing this Saturday, September 18th at the Barrymore. And don't forget, the new Humps Greatest Hits Volume 4 is streaming online until September 25th. And also remember, the deadline for making a film for Hump 2022 is December 8th. And without you, we can't hump, so please get humping. Go to humpfilmfest.com for all the info you need. And if you want to stay up to date on Lovecast news, my Savage Love column, ticket giveaways, events for my new book, go to savage.love to sign up for my new newsletter. And be sure to check me out this Friday on Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO. Follow me on Twitter at FakeDanSavage. Follow Amanda Montell on Twitter at Amanda Montell. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian. And me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy, I'll be back at you next week with an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading.